where the word is given me. And I need to share that with you. So there's an immense lot of information I'm going to try and share with you. So when I get a little bit lost, just pray that I just stick to what the Lord wanted to say to us today. What is important? I might say things that is contradictory to what we are accustomed to regarding the day of Christmas. And I'm going to start with the first bomb. Oh, Holy Spirit, may you open our hearts. Jesus was never born on the 25th of December, for a start. But it's something that the Roman Catholics have done right. Many ages ago, the Roman Catholic Church decided, because of the 25th of December, all over the world, a lot of pagan feasts, demonic feasts, were taking place. And they decided that they're going to have a feast, announce a feast that will put focus on Christ. And the Roman Catholics, we call it church, they call it mass. Therefore, the word Christ's mass, that's where Christmas comes from, is from the Roman Catholics. Okay, during all the facts I'm going to onto you this morning, you will find out how the timelines fit together. But just stick with me. Please, just stick with me. I couldn't almost sleep last night because the Lord, for the last 3 days, the Lord's been just hammering me with stuff that I've never seen before. Christmas for me, it's, and I trust for you, after this morning, will have a complete different meaning. We start in Genesis. We know the original plan of God in Genesis is where the Father himself dwelt with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But then in Genesis 3, they messed it up by sinning and being separated from the glory of God. All right. Well, watch this. What happened in Genesis 3:21? We're not going to put that up now. Is as soon as the Father arrived in the garden, Adam and Eve heard him and they hid. And the Father said, "Where are you? Why are you hiding?" And they say, "We're naked." And the Father said, "But how do you know you're naked? It never bothered you. Have you eaten of that tree?" And we know they've sinned. And exactly at that point, listen carefully. Remember what I'm saying, because I'm going forth and in Scripture to get the whole picture. Exactly at that moment of sin, the Father started with the process of restoring his original plan by making clothes out of skin to cover their shame. What do you think he was actually prophetically saying there? We believe that what he was slaughtered to get the skins was lambs. And the skins of the lambs were to cover the shame of Adam and Eve, to cover the sin. Do you realize that at that point of sin in the Garden of Eden, God was already pointing to Jesus? Amazing. Pointing to his birth. But then we jump and we go to Genesis 49. Verse 1 and 2. Listen to this. Then Jacob called for his sons and said, "Gather around so I can tell you what will happen to you in the days to come. Assemble and listen, sons of Jacob. Listen to your father Israel." Let's jump to 49:10. The scepter. Now he's talking to his son Judah. Guys, you've got to keep up here. You've got to keep up here. He's talking to his son, Judah. Listen to what he says to his son, Judah. "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nation is his. The first prophecy pointing to the birth of Jesus' line. It's going to make sense now. Just stick to me. It's amazing that we see right in the beginning, already in Genesis, the Father was pointing to Jesus as the one that's going to cover all our sins. And then there's that prophecy of Micah 5:2. Listen to this. But you, Bethlehem Ephratah, thou you are small among the clans of Judah. Out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from ancient times. Will you remember all that? Remember that. It's mind-boggling. He's still wiping my mind. So I asked a lot of questions to the Lord over this time. And I asked, Lord, have you ever asked why Mary and Joseph? Why were they chosen? We just accept God has chosen them and that settles it. It goes much further than that. It goes much deeper than that. So I'm going to start. Oh my God. Luke 1, 30 to 32. But the angel said to her, that's when he appeared to Mary. He said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with a child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. Well, we know that. But the angel said, and he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. You see the connection? The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Remember that. That's it. That's the link. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. We're getting into deep stuff now. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. You got that? Here's the line of David. Let's jump to Luke 2, verse 1 to verse 5. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while whatever was governor of Syria. That's not important. And everyone went to his own town to register. Yes, some tips coming. Watch this. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth, remember, in Galilee, to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David. Watch this. Because he belonged to the house and the line of David. Certain scriptures tell us he was part of the royal line. Remember that. The tacky is going to hit the tar now. So they went to register. Now I'm going to jump back into the Old Testament. Watch this, Jeremiah 22, 24. We know that Joseph looks like was in the royal line of the king of David. Okay. From where the king will be born, the new king. We'll get to it now. Listen to this, 24. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, even if you, Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, wear a signet ring on my right hand, I would still pull you off. This is scary stuff. Let's jump to verse 30. This is what the Lord says. Now, this is Jeremiah talking. This is what the Lord says. Record this man as if childless. a man who will not prosper in his lifetime. For none of his offspring will prosper. None will sit on the throne of David or rule anymore in Judah. Wow. Now we're in trouble. God, through Jeremiah, just put a curse on the bloodline of David. Now we're in trouble because the Messiah is going to come through the bloodline of David. And here's a curse being placed upon it. So how on earth can that happen? Let's jump to Jeremiah 23:5. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up to David a righteous branch. Remember that word branch. A king will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Luke 1:32-33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. We're in trouble. Stick with me. We're in trouble. There's a curse upon the lineage of David. That they, from King David, there was a couple of kings, but they messed up so badly that they cannot sit on the throne anymore because of the curse that's been put upon that line. So, watch this. When you look at the lineage, or the lineage, sorry. Oh, Angelique, this morning, help me with that one. If you look at the lineage of David, and you go through the kings, and in that time, because of the curse, the guys that were supposed to be the heirs of the throne as the king of the Jews started fading away and became normal people in such a way over the years that they didn't even know who was the kings anymore. Who was the true heirs of the king of the Jews? Here's the first tire hitting, or the tacky hitting the road. Listen to this. Research showed when they checked the lineage that Joseph was the true heir to become the king of the Jews. But because of the curse, he couldn't become that king. We're still sitting with a problem. So we're sitting with the father of Jesus, Joseph, that is the true heir as the king of the Jews. And during that time, King Herod was the king of the Jews. But King Herod was not appointed by God. He was appointed by the Roman council. And that is why he was so nervous when he heard about the birth of the new king. Listen to this. Isaiah 11:1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. Remember? Branch, shoot, stump. I read in the Living Bible, it says actually, the royal line of David will be cut off, chopped down like a tree, but from the stump will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch from the old root. Interesting. What is the Hebrew word for branch? Netzah. Netzah. So the word Netzaret means Nazareth. Nazareth means the place of the branch. That is where Jesus grew up. And that is the stump, is Joseph. Because of the curse, the lineage of to become king has been cut. The stump. But the prophecy in Isaiah said, out of that stump will come a shoot. That will be a branch that will bear fruit. So we see that God is speaking about a line that's been cursed, that there will come a king. How will that king then come? Because God will never go against his own word. Watch it. Here comes the next. Here's the next bomb. According to the Jewish studies, and when we look at Matthew focus on the lineage of Joseph, and Luke focus on the lineage of Mary. And when you go and look at the lineage of Mary, you will not find her there, because in those days they referred to the fathers, and not to the mothers, but to the fathers. But they've done research, and they have found that Mary was a descendant of David. She was in the royal line. And that royal line, they believe, was a line that was not cursed. And to keep it pure, there had to be a virgin birth that bypasses and nullify the curse that's been put upon the kingship. And therefore, out of the line of David, the Messiah was born. Do you understand? Can you see how it fits? It's amazing the detail God has been busy with. Ooh, now I've got to run. Now I've got to, not out, but here. Shepherds, let's run to the shepherds. Now you know why Mary and Joseph. Let's go to the shepherds. Let's quickly read according to the shepherds in Luke 2 from verse 6. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Manger, remember that. There's a tip. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, tip, keeping watch over their flocks at night, tip. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, tip. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, tip. And they were terrified. That's not a tip. That's natural. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. The great joy that will be for all the people, that was read this morning. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Interesting what is happening here. We're just going to read up till there. I'm not going to. They said, how will we find him? He said, you will find him in a manger. And then they went in and they saw the star. And it, star. There was never a star. It was the glory of God that shone. And if you read further, for time's sake, angels appeared to this shepherds in the field. And it shone so bright that it the word says it became bright. And it was a multitude of hosts of angels that was there. Now, watch this. The only time that the shepherds in Israel were with the flocks in the field at night, that was between in springtime. Spring was March, April. What did they do? They were watching the born lambs. That's what they, how amazing to do the first revelation of the birth of Jesus Christ to the shepherds that were watching the lambs. Amazing. But it goes further. It goes further. They went in and found him in a manger. But research showed that the interesting thing about Bethlehem, it was the place that all bread and all sacrificial lambs were born for sacrifices in Jerusalem. What an amazing choice of place as well. That the sacrificial, the blameless lambs were born in Bethlehem. What a choice. The detail is amazing. I've got to come and land now, but there's such a lot. Okay, let's run with it. The Magi, the wise men. What do we know? You can go and read Matthew 2:1. What happened? They said, in the east, we saw the star, which wasn't of the Messiah. And they started to travel. Now, where did these dudes come from? According to research, they came from Babylon and Persia. Listen carefully what I'm about to say now. They have most probably traveled for months. And the scholars found that they have traveled almost up to 2 years to find the place where Jesus was born. Amazing. How do we know? 2 years? Ah, man. We see it that the shepherds and the Magi was there at the same time. No, they weren't. Why do you think Herod said all the children from 2 and younger should be killed? Because Herod asked the wise men, when did you see the star? And when he worked out, when they saw the star, he worked out 2 years and younger. So it's almost 2 years. Now we think they were 3 wise men. It doesn't make sense. Because the wise men, 3, just because the Bible doesn't tell us they were 3. It's only 3 gifts that was given. They must have been much more, many more. Why? Do you think those guys with those precious gifts will travel through a war zone for months unprotected? Can I prove to you what I just said? Ha! Here it comes. Isaiah 60 verse 6. Listen to this. Herds of camels will cover your land. Young camels of Midian and Ephah and all from Sheba will come bearing gold and incense and proclaim to praise of the Lord. Wow! There's the proof. There were a lot of guys that came to honor. Can you see how our picture of the birth of Jesus got distorted? Because of a lot of things. Now the question is, how did they know? How did the Magi knew how to look for and when to look for this star? A matter of fact, it wasn't a star because the star can't move. Okay? They saw the star, the light that shone when the glory of God revealed the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. And they were in the east and they saw the light. And they didn't have the scriptures of Micah and Isaiah at that time, but they had a teaching. Who taught them this? Daniel taught them. Because if we go to Daniel 2:48, listen there. Then the king placed Daniel, and you know about Nebuchadnezzar. He had this dream, and nobody could give the dream's interpretation. And then Daniel came, and God was so impressed with that, that Nebuchadnezzar made him chief over the Magi, over the wise men. Interesting. But it goes deeper. Daniel 9:25. Know and understand, this is a prophecy from Daniel. From this issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until the anointed one, the ruler, comes, there will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. What? So the Magi, because they were wise, they were looking out for these signs. and then sitting there with all their wisdom, saw the light, and they knew, that's it. That's the star of the Messiah. We need to go. For months they traveled to bring gifts and honor. Almost 2 years later, they arrived. Now, that was interesting. Yeah, that was interesting. It bowled me over. The matter of fact is, when God goes in so much detail to prepare the birth of Jesus that we actually celebrating with the rest of the world today. I realized he's done it all for me and you. That's why he did that. That's why God the Father went into so much detail to orchestrate the birth of Jesus, starting already at the place of sin in Genesis and bringing it through. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He did it for me and you. How have you responded to what he has done? That's my question. Let's close our eyes.